No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me, along with Captain Keith and Dennis, rounding out the crew today as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. This is Just Plane Radio. And Merry Christmas to you. We got a few special Christmas songs that will make your heart melt during the holiday season, or it may make you seriously ill. I'm not sure, but either way, there is a holiday or Christmas spin to them today, so I will apologize in advance. Keith, how are you?
I am absolutely fantastic.
Are you?
I am.
Okay. And Dennis, is the holidays treating you well as well?
Yeah, holding up yet. Haven't had family gatherings, so that's still to be determined.
Yeah, okay. Dennis is actually on location, out on the left coast. Is that right? You're somewhere out in there?
That's right. I'm in L.A. today.
Yeah, is it nice and warm? Or
well, what? It's a lot warmer than Minnesota.
I'm hip. That's where it usually is.
I don't mind it in the 60s.
Yeah, you went out there and thawed out. You know, the thing is, what we got to do is talk about the big news breaking this week. And it doesn't have anything to do with Christmas, but the FAA finally responded to all these complaints about FBO. So maybe the aviation industry is getting a Christmas present. You think, Keith? You think that's what this is?
Well, I'm not sure it's a Christmas present yet. I'm not sure the government has ever given us a Christmas present.
Well, true. True, but you know, AOPA, as we've covered on Just Plane Radio for many months now,
right,
has been collecting complaints about the high prices and fuel prices, landing fees and
that thanks to all of you for calling AOPA and giving your feedback.
That's right. You know, and they're probably kind of tired of it, you think? Like, oh, there's another complaint. I mean, but,
they feed off of this stuff.
They do.
Because this puts our hard-earned money to work. You know, when you pay your dues to AOPA, that's what they do for us.
Well, they are an advocate for us in governmental affairs. That's one of the many things that they do, and represent the aviation community and try to get the government to do things and change things that will make flying the skies across America much more manageable and easier for us. Keep the access there for us, right? So these FBOs have been going creeping up, and we're hearing all these crazy stories about this FBO charging a landing fee for basically nothing. You know, we've covered this so many times, it's ridiculous, or exorbitant gas fees for the fuel, and you can fly like, 5 minutes one way or the other, and the gas prices are like a couple dollars cheaper. It's, and look, everybody has to make some money. So no one's complaining about the FBOs, making, their nut, so to speak. But it seems like it's been getting a little, some price gouging has been taking place and surprising folks because, these prices aren't being published as openly as maybe they should be. And then you get stuck with this extra charge and you're just annoyed, And so they've been collecting this data. And finally, the FAA has responded with a six-page Q&A-type document regarding these complaints. And I'm not sure what it says exactly. Have you been able to figure this out, Keith, or what?
Not really, to be honest with you. I haven't read it thoroughly, but I've kind of skimmed through it. And it says a lot of the same things over and over.
Yeah.
And so I'm not sure.
Is that
really
governmental legalese?
Yes.
So you're saying this could have been done in like a postcard size one page document and simplified, but that's just not the governmental way?
However, this is the Government Paperwork Reduction Act.
It is.
6 pages worth.
Okay. Well, there you go. Have you seen this, Dennis? What about you?
I have seen it, and I mean, I think it's great that they're finally acknowledging that there is a problem, and they're finally giving airport operators some broad guidance on what they consider acceptable for airports that are taking federal dollars for grants and improvements. It's frustrating to me as a general aviation pilot to go into an airport where there used to be multiple FBOs, and through consolidation they merged, and then now all of a sudden new fees are popping up where we didn't used to have any fees.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that type of thing, you know, this is shining a light on some dark corners that, you know, people didn't want to talk about before.
Yeah, well, I guess time will tell how this plays out, but, you know, that's how it's being reported throughout the aviation news sites and, you know, the press releases, is that at least the FAA has finally responded. They've acknowledged that there, you know, seems to be an epidemic of this going on across the country, or at least, you know, in a lot of aviators' minds. And where it goes is anybody's guess, but, you know, when you read, like, you know, well, what are you going to do? It doesn't really say they're doing anything. It just says, well, this is what you could look at, and this is what they're supposed to do or something. But it doesn't, I didn't see in there like, well, we're going to start doing this.
Exactly. I didn't see that at all.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, maybe this will open up the dialogue between the FAA and AOPA, and they can start saying, okay, well, all right, now you acknowledge there's a problem. Let's do something about it. And as opposed to just say, okay, we know there's a problem.
And I think more importantly, too, the airport sponsors now, at least, you know, it may not be prescriptive, but at least they have some direction from the FAA on what they are supposed to expect out of their tenants.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe that could help, too. So clarify the situation in that regard. Maybe it'll put the FBOs on notice that the FBO or that the FAA is definitely looking into this problem, and they better... you know, maybe they need to self-regulate themselves a little bit better, or it's going to be done for them. You think that's maybe...
Well, and maybe, too, that the pilots, you know, this is putting the FBOs on notice that the pilots aren't going to be passive anymore either. If, you know, we're not going to just stand there and be fleeced.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a catch-22, though, because you need fuel.
Of course.
What are you going to do?
Do I need to pay $7 a gallon for fuel? Or do I need to pay $5? Do I need to pay a $50 ramp fee just to pull up on the ramp and, you know, pick up a passenger? That to me seems excessive.
Yeah.
And I absolutely 100% totally agree. However, part of the issue with general aviation, we sell it, is the fact that you can get closer to your destination by flying a general aviation airplane.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these things keep you away from that. You might have an airport that's right there, but they charge these exorbitant fees, and so now you have to go someplace else,
right,
in order to save the cost. I mean, we have this in Orlando. It's pretty prevalent here in Orlando.
Yeah.
You know, you can go fairly short distances away by air, but they will take you 45 to an hour and a half to drive there by car.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is I-4 involved?
Of course.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can save yourself $3-4 a gallon sometimes in fuel, depending on the airport that you're going into, mm-hmm. by going to one of these smaller airports.
Sure.
And there's no fees. It's right. Self-serve, but, you know, that's what you have. And as these big conglomerates, these big corporations buy up all the smaller FBOs, you would think they get better pricing, that they would pass that on to us, but they're not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the fuel cost is one thing. You know, I would, you know, it's a difficult situation because you don't want to get into price fixing or having the government say, well, this is the only the amount of money you can make or you can charge, you know, to make your business work. I totally understand that. But, you know, there has to be a level of, you know, where it gets ridiculous.
Right.
You know, it's just like we've had some problems here in Orlando at the gas stations near the airport by the rental car places, and they right. charge like $2 more, you know, because the gas station's right by the rental car place, and you could drive like 2 miles further and get it $2 cheaper per gallon. It's ridiculous.
However, the city does fine them $250 a day.
For doing that. Yeah, exactly. And that kind of obviously.
But they've been doing it for years.
This is true, and they haven't been able to resolve that issue, actually. So, I mean, there's
that's a math problem there. How many gallons a day do I need to sell to cover the fine? And they can probably still come out ahead.
Well, that may be. That may be the calculation they've made. But regardless, I mean, that's one thing. The landing fees, that's the one that I think is just crazy. And it's really, really annoying. Because, like you said, if you just want to, you know, stop and pick something up or pick someone up and keep going, or, I mean, if you're using their services, sure, I totally get that. You know, those free vanilla lattes you get at a lot of the cool FBOs, I mean, they're free, technically, but, you know, they're being paid for in another way, and I totally understand that. If
right.
you're not going to use any of that stuff, or you're just doing a quick stop, you know, to charge them $50 to land your plane, to do something like that is kind of ridiculous to me.
Well, you have to keep in mind, too, you know, I just spoke about how you smaller airplanes, we can go someplace else. General mm-hmm. Aviation incorporates a lot of large jets as well.
Yeah. Business
they don't travel. Have they don't have the opportunity to go to smaller airports because the runways aren't long enough.
Well, there you go.
Or they're suddenly making the runways shorter.
That's and right.
That too.
Difficult. Yes. All right. Well, it's obviously an ongoing problem. We got more on it next right here on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Oh my, it smells like Grandma's house at Christmas. That's when we found her dead on the toilet.
Merry Christmas, baby. You sure you treat me nice. And I feel just like
this is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Kathy, Keith, and Dennis, also helping us out. He's out on the left coast, warming out, thawing out from his typical location in Minnesota. All right, so the FAA
he might
finally
be burning up out there.
He might melt. You know, he's
it's
like a
not
snow.
That warm out here.
Oh, it's not that warm. Okay,
yeah, we were talking
no,
about
it only
the
got
fires.
60. Oh, yeah. Well, there is that.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, but yeah, you kind of appreciate the extra heat, probably. I guess.
Yeah, it's not bad, actually. Yeah. It was kind of nice, refreshing getting off the airplane and not freezing.
Yeah. Well, I kid, but I shouldn't, about the fire. That's some pretty crazy stuff going on out there. I was in Curacao, on the island of Curacao last week. We'll get into that in just a bit, staying warm myself. But you know, the FAA kind of, you know, is taking over, or at least taking over the aviation news cycle here this week because of their response to the FBO. So that's kind of what we're talking about right now. And, you know, it's a universal subject for any general aviation pilot. I haven't found anybody who loves paying higher prices for fuel and landing fees. Have you guys?
No.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a universal, we hate this! Stop it! And, you know, it does motivate behavior, like you said.
It's almost like when you go to the hospital and you tell them that you have insurance, the rates triple.
Yeah. Well, okay, I guess. I mean, if you're in an emergency situation, I guess it's a little different. But I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I see your analogy there. But you know, they have a captive audience. If you got to go to this particular place and you have to go to this particular, you know, airport, and they end up charging extra money for fuel and a surcharge just to land, you know, next thing you know, you've had to pay all these extra fees that you didn't really want to, let alone have to. And now you've kind of busted your budget open a little bit, and you've, you know, deterred aviators from going there in the future. You know, the activity, you're like, well, I'm not doing that again. You know, first time you get, you know, zing me once, you know, shame on me. Zing me twice, shame on, sorry, wait, I got that backwards, don't I? I don't know. Take it, reverse it, whatever you want to do. But you know what I'm trying to say. And so.
Have you figured that out, Dennis?
He's still working on it.
Yeah.
There's a six-page FAA document that explains exactly what I'm trying to say.
Please refer to that.
Yes.
Yes. So, you know, the thing is, I would hope they would try to stop this. And hopefully this is the first step in that process, you know, in the long governmental process to make some changes that, you know, they can manage this or bring this. Really rein this in just a little bit, but you do have the double-edged sword of you don't really want the government to come in and do this for you, really, sometimes either. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, like I said, I feel for the responsible FBOs that are trying to just make a buck and they don't, you know, price gouge or whatever and try to be responsible. They got to support, you know, their business and they got to make it worthwhile. I totally get that part of it, but there has to be a little bit of balance, and I don't know where that line is. Do you have, you know, the government come in and say, well, you can't make more than this amount of money, or do you leave it up to the FBOs to, you know, kind of, you know, use competition to regulate themselves? That doesn't seem to help or work when you, like you said, all the FBOs, all the smaller ones are being bought up, and then a corporate company comes in and says, well, we're going to charge more now. As opposed to, like you said, spread the cost out over more of their FBOs so they can actually lower the prices.
Right.
And that's just not what we've been seeing, is what your least overall feel is on this. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Dennis?
Well, we deal with it every day.
Yeah.
Well, Keith, you get out in jets and get to go out to far more, you know, places than I do. But, you know, what is your impression the same as mine, is that when they do have these consolidations, you know, you wind up with these Taj Mahal style FBOs where I would have been just fine with a porta potty and a self-serve pump. I mean, do we really need all that? I mean, I understand the corporate guys do because they're bringing passengers in for hire and making money off of that. And the pilots are sitting in the lounge and, you know, using those resources all day while waiting for the customers. But for the typical general aviation pilot that's, you know, drop the airplane off, leave, come back hours later and get out. You know, they're really not using a lot of the resources other than some ramp space. And, you know, maybe that they need to, the pricing needs to be proportionate for the services delivered. I mean, I think that's fair.
Well, wait a minute. Yeah, because I definitely don't want to go to one with just a porta potty and a self pump.
Well, you know, there has to be a balance. And here's the way that the FBOs look at it. You know, you come in there in your Mooney, Dennis, and, you know, you're going to take 25 gallons of fuel. There's a lot of overhead for that 25 gallons of fuel. Versus a jet that's going to come in there and take, you know, 1,000 gallons or 2,000 gallons of fuel. And there's not near as much overhead when you sell higher quantities of fuel. We understand that. Our flight school is an awful lot of work for our FBO. Mm-hmm. Because every 2 hours they got to come in and put, you know, 5, 10 gallons in each airplane, depending on, you know, what kind of a flight they were on.
Right.
There's a lot of work that's involved in that. And however, you got the corporate guys that, like Dennis said, the pilots, they come in there and they sit there all day long waiting for their passengers to go back. So they have to have some place that's fairly comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
They got to be able to sleep. So there has to be a balance where you can have something comfortable, but does it have to be a Taj Mahal? The answer is no.
No. No. I mean, I would like a free vanilla latte with non-fat milk and whipped cream.
Well, you do realize it's not free. You have to pay for it.
Somehow. Well, I would like it complimentary as part of my visit. Okay, like if I got to buy a gallon of fuel, I get a free latte.
Have you ever purchased a gallon of fuel, Greg?
Good point. And I'm just going to leave it out there. I'll refer you to the FAA document of Q&As, and maybe you can find it in there. But
it's a way to stop that conversation, huh, Dennis?
That mm-hmm. is.
Anytime we ask Greg to pay for something, and
I'm going to defer to the 6-page Q&A addressing the subject and let you figure out what the hell. I'm going to act like the government. That's just I could follow their lead. Be able to get out of a lot of messes that way. But, you know, the thing is, I wonder, you know, where this will go. And, you know, what will be the solution? I mean, we've had the same thing happen in the commercial airline industry. I mean, I just flew to Curacao, and, you know, it's kind of weird. You have the airlines that nickel and dime everything and can be cheaper, especially for the ticket price, but then when you pay for all the extra crap, depending on what you want to bring, will be more expensive than a regular domestic carrier.
Right.
And it's a pain in the butt. It's hard to decipher, you know, what's a good deal or what's in your best interest. I mean, I flew to Curacao two years ago. You got two free bags on international flights, even after they started. Now, no, forget that. That's gone. So you're even paying for one bag international flights. We'll talk about that and then some next here on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. Here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me along with Captain Keith today. Also, Dennis, who's out on the left coast. And we're talking about this FBO document that the FAA put out addressing price gouging, that kind of stuff. And what will the solution be? This is the first step. Or first warning shot, maybe, to the FBOs. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how the FBOs take this. If they see, like, uh-oh, here it comes. You know, we're about to be told how much money we can make or what we can or can't do. I mean, they're already kind of told that. They're just like, some of them seem to be ignoring some of the services. And you know, people are claiming that they're being price gouged by some of these FBOs. We'll have to see how that plays out. I just worry that it's going to turn into what happened with the commercial airline industry with the baggage stuff. And now we have all this crazy baggage fee stuff. I just went to Curacao. I had an awesome trip, by the way. We got to figure out a way to fly down there, Keith. That would be a great trip. I mean, it's a little far from Miami. It was like, 2.5 hour, 2:45. Right. And a jet, so we're flying at 600 miles an hour, so we'd have to figure out how to get a fast enough jet to make it feasible. But boy, what a cool island.
It is a very cool island.
Have you been there?
I have not been there. However, I know a lot of people there.
You do?
Yes.
In Curacao, really?
Yes.
Okay. Did they go see Santa Claus?
And
they have two Christmases there.
They do.
They have, like, you know, Santa Claus and Santa Claus, and I was there for Santa.
And we are actually talking with the government there.
We are.
We are. We, as in myself and via flight training professionals.
Okay. All right. So, we'll have to see how that, how that goes. Because I need to get back there again. But I really would prefer not to have to fly commercial. As carefree as it was a fine flight. But they charged us for bags like crazy.
Right.
And it's ridiculous, you know, how they're getting with this stuff. And like I said, that's what I'm afraid of. I mean, the alternative for the FBOs might say, okay, look, we're not going to charge such high rates, but now we're going to start charging for this item, and this item. and they could still do what the airlines do. And when you add all that stuff together, you end up paying more than before you started with the fees they were charging up front. You hear what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Shall I begin the Christmas story?
Absolutely.
Something about Christmas time. Something about Christmas time makes you wish it was Christmas every day. See the joy in the children's eyes, the way that the old folks smile.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me, along with Captain Keith and Dennis, rounding out the crew today as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. Merry Christmas to you. And, you know, look, I hope all this news about FBOs and stuff is not deterring your, you know, upbeat Christmas vibe. Because that's not what we're trying to do, but it's like all over the news right now. And everybody's traveling, they're dealing with the airports more than normal, myself included. I was in Curacao last week and traveling, and had a great trip, by the way. It was just absolutely phenomenal. And I got to go back, and it's good to hear that Keith is already working plans for us to fly back private next time, because I'd much rather do that to avoid all the fees and the commercial airports. I want to go GA. Is that what we're going to be able to work out there, Keith? You think that's going to be possible?
I'm trying, but
what?
It is the distance.
It is the distance. That's the problem?
Yeah.
Yeah. What, just, if you go from Miami, is it still too far, you think?
It depends on the airplane. And it's right at the very limits of a lot of general aviation airplanes.
Yeah. Well,
you won't be able to have any reserves.
Well, you won't really, I mean, they got everything in Curacao. I mean, they got fuel, movie theaters, lattes. They even have 3 Starbucks on the island.
Yes.
So it's well worth the energy. You know what I'm saying? To get there?
Oh, I totally agree.
Yeah.
It's just
That 3-hour. Well, is there a stop you could take?
When?
You could stop down in, like, South America or something, somewhere on the way. Or where, I don't even know. Where's the map?
Do you understand where Curacao is?
No, not really.
That's kind of what I figured.
You skipped that class in high school.
Exactly.
Geography.
It's part of the ABCs of the Antilles, Aruba, Bonaire, and Curacao. How about that? I know that much.
But you don't know where they are, so what good is that?
Well, I know it's, like, off the coast of, like, Venezuela or something, right? Isn't it like 50 miles off there? Is that right?
I almost think we have to give him credit for that one.
Well, thank you. All right. See?
Yeah, but he doesn't know where Venezuela is.
Well, I thought it was like part of South America or something, isn't it? I don't know. Where is it? It's one of those big continents.
So what's between here and there?
A lot of water. Is there no island? There's no stop off, or you couldn't break it up somewhere? Like it'd take a long, you know.
Cuba.
Well, you could do Cuba, but that won't really help you much.
No.
It's only 90 miles, or that would only knock off about 150 miles maybe out of Miami, huh?
And Trump doesn't like us going there.
Yeah. I've actually heard some bad things about, I just had someone I know went down there and they had to come back early. So the travel down there still seems to be having some issues, or maybe getting worse again. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows? But I don't know. You work the route. You're the captain. You can make this happen. Or we just get a cooler plane.
Yeah, I was going to say, we just need friends with a better, bigger GA plane. You know, Keith, where's your buddy with that Challenger?
Well, what about you? You could get over there, couldn't you, with your Mooney there, Dennis?
The range on the Mooney is still limited. I mean, realistically, it's about a 900-mile airplane.
Well, all you have to do, Dennis, is take the back seats out and put fuel tanks in it.
That's right.
Yeah, there you go.
No problem.
Of course, that means you can't take Greg, but that's...
What? Forget that idea.
That's an improvement. No.
That will not work. That will not work for me. So we're going to have to come up with a bigger plane. So what plane would make it, you think? So because you're figuring, I'm guessing it's about, 600 miles an hour. So
It's about 1,100 miles from Miami.
Is that all?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I was thinking it was about 2.5 hour flight, 245, 600 miles an hour. So that'd be more than that, wouldn't it?
You're not traveling 600 miles an hour.
We're not?
No.
Well, I guess not the
whole time. About 450.
Maybe when we get up to cruising speed, you mean? If that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So 1,100 miles. So you need a plane that can do a fairly long haul.
Right.
Okay. Well, just get one. Simple as that. Problem solved. You are welcome.
Well, they did just up my limit on my credit card, so thank you very much, Greg.
We did our best to try to screw with that last week, I think. Didn't we, Dennis? Wasn't that last week or was it the week before? There's a whole
Probably
list of stuff
before.
That we wanted to buy for
just
Christmas.
Because I wasn't here.
Well, hey, you weren't, but you were in spirit because we had access to your credit card.
And Mooney just announced their the new Ovations. They're looking pretty tempting.
Yeah, see?
I've seen them.
Yeah, do you see the down payment on your credit card statement yet?
I don't even look at that anymore.
Well, thank God. There really is a Santa.
As long as we spend less than your wife, it's okay.
Hey, my wife is an accountant. So, very cautious.
I don't think the charges will come up until next year anyway, so I think we're good, Dennis. We'll be able to get that in.
Well, then there'll be different charges.
Right. So, all right. Well, anyway, we'll have to see how that unfolds. Traveling is just something everybody has to do right now.
Well, they have to, but I think we need to figure out how to get there on ourselves because, if you're going to take the airlines, especially the major carriers, mm-hmm. you might have some problems. They've had some problems lately. American Airlines have to cancel 15,000 flights?
Yes.
Because of a computer problem.
Mm. Well, because everybody scheduled Christmas off. Is that the one you're talking about?
Exactly.
Yeah, isn't that great? Thank goodness, I'm flying on Christmas. And
think about the poor pilots' families. How many of them are now going to have a wonderful Merry Christmas because they get to take that time off, and those that do go in are actually going to get paid twice as much for it. It's a win-win, right?
They're getting paid 200% to go in and fly.
That is awesome, and I'm very happy for them because I'm flying Delta that week.
Well, Delta had a problem as well.
Well, not with that.
They sure did.
They had a scheduling problem as well. Uh-oh. I missed this one.
These are the same people that are pushing so hard to get control of our air traffic control system.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't think that the airlines, people got to get their heads above water here to start watching what's going on. Number one, they don't care about the passengers. You can tell that by there's no leg room in the airplane.
Yep.
I know that one for
sure. Yes, yeah. Well, there's not really an airplane in existence that has enough leg room for Keith, though. Let's preface that correctly.
Well, it depends on where you're sitting.
Sir Sasquatch.
So there's that. All these fees that you were just talking about.
Right.
Record, I think Dennis mentioned it earlier, there's record profits from all these ancillary fees that they've got.
Yeah. They're making big money
now. They're making huge money.
Mm-hmm.
$80 plus billion in fees? That's crazy.
Yeah.
And they want to take over the air traffic control system. They can grab your money, but they can't schedule your flights. They can't operate the flights on time. They can't get crews there to fly the airplanes on time. They can't even get crews to come in because they give them all holiday vacation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they want to take over the air traffic control system and make it better.
It doesn't sound like good management skills, does it? Yeah.
Remember, I used to work for the airlines.
Aha. Uh-huh. Mm. Yeah.
They don't have good management skills.
Yeah, they don't have...
And what incentive would they have to, try to modernize and improve? I mean, have you seen or heard the discussion about this new application that they're building to allow pilots to pick up their instrument clearances on a cell phone? Would the airlines be motivated to do that? They have that functionality in a lot of the flight decks now, so why would they want to invest in something that would only help the little guys?
Well, as a rebuttal to that, the FAA is going to stop that, not the airlines.
Why?
Because the FAA is not going to allow that technology for 121 operations.
Yeah, because they don't trust self signals or something, or
it's just that the FAA is so far behind.
Hmm.
Although I have to say they are coming up a little bit slowly.
Yeah.
There's now, I forget what the airport is in Alaska that they have a live video feed so anybody flying in there can see what the actual weather is right now.
Really?
The FAA actually put that up.
Well, that's not a bad idea, actually.
So they are slowly starting to come up to speed. But, mm-hmm. Things like that. I mean, even electronic cockpits, or electronic flight bags, I should say, in the cockpit are very slow in coming for the airlines because of all the regulation that the FAA puts on them.
Mm-hmm. They just move at a governmental pace.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, they have less incentive to move forward. They just move very, very slow, but they at least move forward. Whereas you think that if the commercial operators get control of air traffic control or and the towers and stuff, that they won't have an incentive other than just trying to squeeze every dollar they can out of any opportunity they think they can make.
Well, what they're going to do is they're going to give all of the quote-unquote slots to the airlines,
mm-hmm.
and general aviation will suffer.
Well, yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. And they're just not good stewards with what they have already.
Correct.
So their record is not well. So it's, yeah, I don't know. It doesn't sound very promising.
It's definitely not a promising.
We just got to get our own plane and just fly to some place like Curacao where they're not dealing with that kind of stuff. Actually, they do deal with that a little bit, but we can work around it. More coming up.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Have you ever seen a diver down flag floating on top of the water? Well, I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll tell you what this means, whether you're diving or not, next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
In the U.S., a red flag with a diagonal white stripe through it means diver down. It's a badge of honor when seen on a diver's shirt, hat, bumper sticker, and the like. However, when you see a dive flag on the water, boaters should stay at least 300 feet away, while divers stay within 150 feet of their flag. It's the law in some areas and just good sense in order to prevent injury by prop and vessel strikes. Dive into DAN.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Enough reindeer games. Back to the sky, boys. We need to shave 3 minutes off our flight time.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time. Yes, the most wonderful time. Oh, the most wonderful time of the year.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, Captain Keith and Dennis rounding out the crew. And, you know, celebrating the holidays accordingly. I mean, we're all swaying in sync there. It was a magical moment for sure. Somewhat disturbing, but whatever. Dennis, you're out on the left coast today for business, I assume. And but you were telling me that you actually found a nice diversion on your way out of the airport there at LAX, or what? What was going on?
Whenever I head out to the West Coast, there's a few things I look forward to, and I think the listeners will agree with me. In-N-Out Burger is definitely a highlight of any time I get out to California.
Oh, of course. Yes. The only thing you got to fix about In-N-Out Burger is the lines. It's so friggin' popular.
Yeah, 8:30 at night, and the drive-through line was all the way out to the street.
Yeah,
it's amazing. I mean, I would love to transplant that business model somewhere else because clearly it works.
I would like a double with cheese, animal style.
Double animal style. Yep, yeah, you betcha.
Mm-hmm. But good stuff.
I found the ultimate location for an In-N-Out Burger. As I was coming out of LAX, there's a In-N-Out Burger maybe 2 miles from the airport, and it turns out it overlooks the airport. You can actually see the airplanes taxiing around. You can see the airplanes as they're touching down right as you're eating your burger and fries.
Very nice.
How cool.
Yeah, I think I've been to that one. There's one right by the airport, but I don't recall being able to see the planes like that. So maybe that's a different location. But so that's what you did.
There was too much smog when you were there.
That could be.
Well, we have the fires going on right now, so we got smoke.
You know? Yeah. Actually, did you see all that stuff when you were flying in?
Actually, it wasn't. The winds have really died down this week.
Yeah.
But as I flew into LA and then had to make a hop up to Silicon Valley, we did fly right over the Ventura County fires, and there is still some going on, but it's not nearly as the apocalyptic as they were showing in the news even as little as 2 weeks ago.
Mm. Okay, well,
I took
good.
Some cool pictures out of the jet, though, of it, so there's still some active fires out there.
Well, very good. All right, well, there you go. Put it on your list. Find the In-N-Out Burger, and know that you can enjoy the view of all the airplanes. If you're an aviator, you might
plane
enjoy
spotting
the scene.
And a hamburger. What a way to spend an evening.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, we got to go back to this this new app, because you're pretty excited about this. You think this will be a thing that streamlines your IFR flying, and this is this app. It's been getting quite a bit of buzz in the aviation news circles as well. So what is this all about again?
So MITRE Corporation is working on this app that you can put on your phone, and it instead of having to call up the tower to get your IFR clearance, you know, Mooney 63 Zulu cleared to the Orlando airport is filed, climb maintain, you know, 5,000, expect further, you know, that type of thing.
Uh-huh.
That takes up how much time with the controllers to get it. You've got to copy the clearance down. Now they're going to be pushing that to your phone. So if there's a routing change, you'll actually see it right on your phone.
How would that work, Keith? You think that's a good thing?
Oh, absolutely. Airlines use it a lot. They have a thing called PDC, pre-departure clearance.
Yeah.
And they can pull it up right in the airplane as well if it's equipped to do so. So it definitely speeds things up and cuts down the radio transmission time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially
talking on the radio, which that was a challenge for me being a radio guy when I was in the airplane.
And if it's a busy airport,
mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of people that are trying to talk, that need to talk, that are trying to get in and out. You know, look at airports like LaGuardia.
Right.
You know, they don't have enough radio frequency, and there's just a lot of traffic. Definitely speed things up.
So,
And I can see how this could actually make things safer as well, because, you know, when you're having to copy these clearances, sometimes you get strange fixes, and how is that spelled, and, you know, clarifying all that out. Here you get it in text on your phone. And I wouldn't see this as a huge stretch to integrate this to the existing EFB app. So, you know, you download your clearance into this app, and you can instantly push that flight plan then into, say, ForeFlight. And now everything's in sync without having to do data entry multiple times. I can see this as a definite benefit to the GA pilot.
Well, yeah. You think it's coming, Keith?
Definitely.
That sounds like something ForeFlight would be all over.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But then this app is coming from who? Is it coming from the FAA or what?
A company called MITRE is developing it on behalf of the FAA. They're putting this system together and showing it. I think MITRE does a lot of work with the ATC, you know, developing internal systems for them. So it's definitely got some heavy weight behind it. Mm. So I'm hoping that it's successful. I was very impressed at the demo that I saw. They had a video up on YouTube, linking to the press release showing it in action. And I just, you know, sat back and thought of our trip to Florida with the Mooney and how much more convenient it would have been to be picking up the clearances, you know, while you're getting the fuel and everything instead of having to copy it down and then to getting routing changes and things like that. It just makes it much more efficient.
Well, when do they hope to have this available for real use? I mean, did it say, or is it just like...
It sounded like they're testing it now. It's, you know, as with all things, you know, the FAA has to bless it. And so sometimes that might be the weak link here, you know, is getting them to agree that this is the way to go and You know, they have existing programs right now, but, you know, you have to call an 800 nationwide clearance delivery system and talk to a controller. This could, you know, free up some of the manpower that they have to run those existing systems as well.
Yeah, what would it do, Keith? Is this the first step to eliminate that guy on the phone, you think? Or will we always need him?
Well, you're going to need him for some people for quite some time.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, we had a conversation the other day. Are we going to get rid of VORs? Eventually, yes. Just like the NDBs have, for the most part, gone by the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still an awful lot of airplanes out there that are that don't have GPS in them yet.
Yeah.
And you can't force people to get GPS.
Oh, you mean like my Mooney?
Yes.
But I thought we were getting that for your Mooney, aren't we?
We're getting part of it.
It's on his Christmas list, of course. All right, so we'll take one step at a time, or one Christmas at a time. And on that note, we'll end it. Till next time, remember, there is no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.